السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه بقدر حسنه وكماله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, I recited to you just the beginning, two or three verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving us the prescription for success. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He wants the believers to obtain success both in this world and in the Akhirat. And all of us are always talking about getting peace, happiness, contentment, satisfaction, getting the best of this dunya and the best of akhirat. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala uses the word falah, qad aflahal mu'minun. As far as this word falah is concerned, even in the Arabic language, there is no such word more comprehensive than falah. It is extremely difficult. In the English language, we just do not have a word that can really give the meaning of falah. It's just not possible. It is the beauty of the Arabic language, because it is the kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that just one word, falah, and it gives such a wide meaning. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying that the believers, they will eventually win through, succeed, or they have succeeded. They have attained falah. If they are true believers, then they have attained falah. Now this success, where did they attain? As far as falah is concerned, there is no doubt that in the akhirat, the person will get complete success. Because in this world, no matter how rich the person, no matter how many mansions he has, or how many palaces he has, or how many oil wells he has, there is no way that he can protect himself and safeguard himself completely from any kind of fear, worry, pain, difficulty, hardship. That will come upon both the believers and the disbelievers. But as I mentioned last night in the Zikr Majlis, that there is a difference, that when it comes upon the believers, then Allah Ta'ala first gives them sabr and then He tests them. The audience is different, therefore I'm repeating it, that the difference is this, that when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends some calamity, some difficulty, some hardship, some pain or some problem upon His true servants, upon those who are His walis, upon those who are close to Him, then first Allah Ta'ala gives them sabr and then He tests them. That means He gives them the capacity to be patient over that calamity. They do not become restless. They will feel the natural pain, but within their hearts they will have a kind of tranquility. The greatest storms outside will not disturb that tranquility. They will believe that it is from my Allah Ta'ala. So that example that I always give is like if an examiner has to set a very difficult paper for the candidates, for the students. And when the students have to look at that paper, they say, it's very difficult. How are we going to answer this paper? It's something that we find very difficult to answer. But then that examiner says that put your hand into my hands and I will answer the paper for you. Then will there be any difficulty? If the examiner himself is going to answer that paper, then what difficulty will there be? So in the same way, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala puts them into this test or this trial for various reasons. He wants to give them some high stages. Or He wants to show the people that look at my walis, that what kind of difficulties and hardships they face. but they do not lose their trust and faith in me. So Allah Ta'ala first gives them the capacity to make sabr over that calamity, and then He gives them that calamity. Therefore, we haven't heard up till now that a wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala took his life or committed suicide because he could not bear the difficulties and hardships. Just because he couldn't take it anymore, so therefore he said, I'd rather take my life. We haven't heard of any wali of Allah, any sahabi of Allah doing that. If he's a true mu'min, he will never ever do that. So what is it that gives them that capacity to bear that hardship and trial? Under the most difficult conditions, they don't barter their iman. They do not sell their iman. It is that yaqeen that they have in their hearts, and it is that iman, or it is that sabr that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has already given them. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Sohaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala, even the women in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and long even after that, so many people, such trying times came over them, that they never bartered their iman, although they were given big bribes, huge bribes. But they said goodbye to those bribes, and they said, we will never ever sell our iman. Look at the torture, look at the hardship, and look at the difficulties that some of our Palestinian brothers, some of our Afghanistan brothers, and some of our Indian Muslim brothers and sisters are going through. Look at what kind of torture, what kind of hardship. But have they said that, no, that's enough now, we rather barter our iman. And those who do barter their iman, then it shows that they did not have that kind of iman from the very first day. So Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that if they are mu'minun, then they will eventually win through, they will definitely succeed. They will get peace, prosperity, happiness, contentment, everything that a person wishes for. There are only two things that a person wishes for. If he is a sensible person, then he only can have two kinds of wishes. But before I go to that, let me give you that second part of it, that those who are pious and righteous, before I slip up with that, then this is the kind of test that they have. That before the test, Allah Ta'ala gives them sabr, so that when they are being patient over that calamity, then Allah Ta'ala is إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. So in that patience now, in that sabr now that they are exercising, Allah Ta'ala is with them. This ma'iyat of Allah Ta'ala is such a great ni'mat that we cannot put any kind of price tag on it. That when a person says, I've got the king on my side, I've got the president of the country on my side, I've got the military on my side, then he feels very strong. So this Allah wala, this person whom Allah Ta'ala has given his muhabbat, and he's making sabr now on that calamity and the difficulty, then Allah Ta'ala says, I am with him. And if Allah is on his side, then what else does he need? And those others that are disbelievers in Allah Ta'ala, or those who are Muslims but they are weak in their iman, weak in their actions, they are not concerned about Allah, about Jannat, about Akhirat, then when difficulties and calamities come upon them, then they distance themselves even more from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then bigger calamities come upon them. And even in that little difficulty that they have, sometimes it's a very trivial thing. It's a minor pain or problem. But you will find that person is so restless, as if Qiyamah has already come upon him. There is no sukoon left in his life. His tranquility is gone altogether. So that is the difference. And this difference has been given by Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh. And he even describes one other category. He says when there are even some people who get extremely happy when difficulties come upon them. Now we are not in that category, therefore we should not even ask for such kind of trials, because we are extremely weak. We must always ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat and salamati. We must ask Allah Ta'ala for the best. I always say, ask Allah Ta'ala for biryani every day. But if you get dal every day, then make shukr over it and eat it. But don't ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for difficulties. Ask Him for afiyat and salamati. Don't become too strong in front of Allah Ta'ala. That, oh Allah, you can test me, I am very strong. We do not know where we will land ourselves. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this is what He does when He gives tests and trials to those who are His believers and those who are His true servants, and when He gives it to those people who are disbelievers. So this falah, there is no way that a person can have everything in this world. Yes, I was talking about, Allah Ta'ala put it back into my mind, that there can be only two kinds of things that a person can seek in this world. One is, if he's a sensible person, then that's all he wants in this world. That he wants all the best, whether it's this world or the akhirat. If he's a sensible person, then he wants all the best in this world. Whatever is good, whatever is khair, he wants that. And he wants that there must be no kind of harm that must come upon him, his wife, his children, his family. These are the two things that anybody will seek. That he wants the best for himself, his wife, his children, his family. And he wants that there must be no kind of harm, no kind of problem and trouble that must come upon anybody, himself or his wife or his children. So these are the two things that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala promises to those people who have these sifat or these attributes which Allah ta'ala then mentions. That if you have these attributes, if you have these qualities in you, then Allah ta'ala says you will eventually win through, you will succeed. In fact, you have already succeeded. You will get the best. But just to clear that confusion that sometimes we think that all the best means that the person must be in excellent health throughout his life. But we see that the great walis of Allah Ta'ala, sometimes a person is having heart attack, sometimes he's having stroke, sometimes he's having cancer. So how can that be the best? So it can be the best because if Allah Ta'ala gives them sabr first and then gives them these difficulties, then they are getting more and more closer to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. For Allah Ta'ala has then promised them, Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. Because you will always find the sifat of sabr in them, and they will take medication, they will treat themselves. They will even inform a person that I am sick, I'm not feeling well. But you will never find a complaint of Allah Ta'ala. And why I'm repeating this, repeating it over and over, is because, believe me what I'm telling you, because many, many young boys and girls, just because of their love problems, illicit love relationship problems, many youngsters, somehow they get my telephone number or they get my address and they write. There are so many of them who have now written, Maulana, I feel like putting the gun on my head. I feel like taking my life. Just 3 or 4 days ago, a 16-year-old girl, she mentions that I'm 16-year-old. She says, I slit my wrist, but I didn't die. Then I took an overdose of drugs, but I still survived. But I don't think I will last longer because I could do something more dangerous than that. And what is the problem? Nothing else but illicit love relationship. This is what is leading to that. So there is a world of difference between those who are the friends of Allah Ta'ala going through difficulties and trials and those who are engaging themselves purposely in haram, and then they are finding their lives restless, and then they cannot take the pressure that comes upon them. Because sometimes the brother wants to beat the person up, sometimes the father wants to shoot this person that is involved in this love relationship with his daughter, and sometimes other things are happening. Now what does the person do? He's under so much of pressure, but he says that whatever happens, but I cannot do without this girl in my life. Or the girl says, I cannot do without this boy in my life. Haram, this is the end result of haram. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaza qabr mein dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. Janaza aarzu ka qabr mein dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. This izzat and this respect and this honor that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to the Muslim, for him to bury that in the qabr. What kind of stupidity is that? Just for a little while of happiness, just for a few minutes of pleasure, but to take everlasting pain upon oneself. What kind of intelligence is that? And there could be a little bit of enjoyment, but hamesha ki nadamat hai. After that, the person is going to shed tears of blood too. It's not going to be of any avail. How many cases we are listening? that the person says, I wish I didn't get involved. I wish I didn't get involved. So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that this falah, Allah will give it. In fact, they have already achieved it, those who have got these sifats. What are the sifats? That in their salat, they are khashi'un. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That in their salat, of course other sifats have been mentioned in other places, but here Allah Ta'ala says that in their salat, when they are making, there's humility there. And what is khashi'un? Sakinun khaifun. The body also must have complete ease. There must be no movement in the body when the person is making salat. There must be khushu. And his heart also must be khaif. There must be that weight of the azmat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala on that heart. If you put some weight on a person, how he bows down or he goes right down. Imagine if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's ihsan, if we have to imagine Allah Ta'ala's ihsan, just think of what I am telling you. So many times when I picture it, just tears roll from my eyes. I can't believe that we are enjoying so much of ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala and yet we are so disobedient to Him. Just picture that there are seven oceans are on our heads, and then the seven earth, they are on our heads, and above that is the arsh and the kursi, and then Allah Ta'ala Himself. If we have to picture that we are under so much of His ni'mat, so that azmat of Allah Ta'ala and also that greatness of Allah Ta'ala, if we have to just picture and imagine that, imagine the whole universe Allah Ta'ala has created, everything in His control, and all these crashes and smashes and destruction and everything that is happening, it is happening according to the plan of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Because He has given us the Holy Quran Sharif as our guide. He sent 124,000 Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam for our guidance. One little child asked one apa a question the other day, that if Allah Ta'ala knew that all these people are going to commit these sins and go to hell, then why didn't He just inform them beforehand? And why should He punish them? Because He is the one that decided that they should all go to hell. So if Allah Ta'ala has decided that, then why should you blame anybody? So this apa was very confused, did not know what reply to give to this little child of 8 or 10 years of age. But the simple explanation for everyone is this, that if it had been the wish and the will of Allah Ta'ala to put everybody into Jahannam, then what was the purpose of sending all these Nabis to this world? What was the purpose of sending His books? What was the purpose of sending down the Quran Sharif? What was the need for all these things? Allah Ta'ala should have just created one hell, one Jannat, and put all the people that He wanted into Jahannam. But Allah Ta'ala gave each and every one of us aqal and intelligence and a willpower. If we do not have aqal, we do not have intelligence, and we do not have willpower, then we will not be even questioned on the Day of Judgment. Because if a madman has to do anything, he's not going to be questioned. In the dream, if a person gives his wife 1,000 talaq also, his wife is not talaqed. Because he's in the dream, he's in the sleep. So the madman, the person who is minor still, or the person who is in the sleep, then whatever actions they do, they're not going to be blameworthy for that. So Allah Ta'ala gave aqal, He gave intelligence, and then He sent down the Nabis, and final Nabi Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He gave guidance and hidayat. He sent not only the Quran Sharif, but even sent the beautiful example of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So that we do not complain tomorrow and say that where was the guidance. Don't blame us for what we did. So whatever we are doing with our own willpower. And Allah Ta'ala merely recorded that this person with his own willpower, this is what he is going to do. But Allah in His infinite knowledge, He has recorded that at the end of it, this is what his punishment will be, because he will use his own intelligence, aqal, willpower, and do the wrong thing. So he will get his punishment. After that, if Allah Ta'ala wishes to forgive, it's his prerogative. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that in their salat they are khashi'un. That there's no movement of any kind. In their hearts also there is a kind of complete relaxation. They do not purposely now bring thoughts into their namaz. Just because the Imam Sahib is reading a long qiraat, or the Imam Sahib is quiet, he's reading Zohar Salat. So now those two rakats or four rakats that we have to stand quietly, what are we going to do? Therefore, let's think of the sport field, let's think of our business, let's think of our wives and children. Purposely bring all the thoughts. They don't do that. They believe that they are standing before Allah, their creator. The azmat of Allah Ta'ala makes them bow down. It is the azmat of Allah Ta'ala that is in their hearts. So that khawf that is comes into the heart, so there's sukoon in the heart. He doesn't purposely bring those thoughts. And at the same time, his body also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw one person scratching his beard while in salat, said if this person had khushu, then he would not have been doing this. It shows he hasn't got khushu. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warned that the person should not be looking left, right and here and there when he is in salat. He should look at the place of sajda when he's standing. Otherwise that salat will lose its khushu. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the time will come when the first thing to leave the ummah will be the khushu of the salat. Masjids will be filled with musallis, but you won't find one person making namaz with khushu in there. So that is the first sifat. Now if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala promises success, and this is just the first one, there are other sifats that have been mentioned, but of course there's not going to be any time to go into that. If upon my return, inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala wills, we'll continue. But if this is the condition that you must have khushu in your salat to get falah, success, to get the best of dunya and the best of akhirat and to get jannat and to get in this world also whatever we desire. If that is the condition, then there must be khushu in the salat. Understand what I'm getting across to you. If khushu in the salat is conditional, then what about the large majority of Muslims who don't even have salat in their lives? If just khushu is a condition of falah, then what about the 80% or 70% of those who do not have 5 times salah in their lives? Where is the khushu going to come if there's no salah itself? Then do we blame Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for our difficulties, our problems? Allah ta'ala sent the Quran Sharif for guidance and for hidayat. And the first sifat that he mentions here is that الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. So if we do not have khushu in that salat, Allah Ta'ala says there's no success. Then what about the large majority in our homes, in our environment, in our society, in the countries of the world, who don't make fajr, don't make zuhur, isha, maghrib. Some people make Jummah namaz, some people make Eid namaz, and some don't even make the Eid namaz. So when there's no salat itself, then is it not true what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said? When he said that the position of salat in the Muslim's life is like the position of the head in the human body. If there's no head, there's no life. When there's no life, then a person will kick that body. He will not be charged for murder because there's no life. He will be arrested for showing some kind of the disgrace or some kind of humiliation, putting that person's family through that, so he could be charged for that. But when it comes to murder, he's not going to be arrested for that because there was no life there. So sometimes if our lives are taken by the enemies of Islam and we have no salat in our lives, then we must not consider that to be great shahadat. It is Allah Ta'ala's azab that is coming. But if the person has got namaz, he's got roza, zakat, hajj, he's got deen, and then Allah Ta'ala takes his life then that is a great shahadat. So first shahadat that we must seek for is to make shaheed of this arzu of ours, our evil desires. And this is what my shaykh has repeatedly said in all his majlises. Ki apni arzuo ka khun karo. The haram desires that arise in the heart, learn to suppress them, learn to sacrifice them, learn to place the knife over them. He zaruri gunaho ko bhi chhod de, asl hijrat nahi sirf tarke watan. So this guna has to be given up. So these arzus will always arise. Look at this woman, cheat this person, commit fraud, take this person for a ride, abuse your children, abuse your wife, harm your neighbors, do this, do that, all kinds of haram shaitan will put. Watch this movie, read this novel, see the filth in that porn magazine. All these kind of arzus will arise. Now what does the Muslim do? If he's a mu'min and a true Muslim, then he will take the knife and sacrifice those desires. So the blood will now flow. He says that first the lion, when he attacks the buck or the deer, then the first thing that he does is drinks the blood of that. And that drinking of the blood of that buck, that gives the lion strength. Then it eats all the meat and everything else. So in the same way, this blood of our desires, when we are going to drink it, Allah Ta'ala will give us the strength of Iman in our lives. Then it will be easy to resist those temptations that are around. There's no doubt there's plenty of temptations. But the only way that the person can resist that is when he has the strength of Iman in his heart. And this Iman strength will come when he will sacrifice his evil desires. The good desires give your nafs plentiful of halal in these days. Because if you're not going to give them halal, then it's going to run towards haram. So don't deprive it of halal. But make your niyat that now we do not want to go towards haram. Otherwise, just calling for this boycott and that protest and that march and all that, it's not going to solve our problems. There will definitely have to be these sifats that have to come into our lives. Otherwise, you'll just have temporary changes. But as I mentioned, and I conclude again on the same point, that when khushu, that means your body, your mind, your heart, everything has to have khushu when you are in salat. If that is conditional for falah and success in this world and the akhirat, then what about those who have no salat in their lives? So let us start somewhere, at least with bringing 5 times salat in our lives, in our children's life, our family life, and the society's life. Then only we can still start thinking of the others. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the torture, the trials that the Muslim Ummah is facing. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is informed of what his ummah is going through, for that ummah for which he sacrificed so much, how much of pain and injury it must be causing to him. But then if we have to look at our actions, they are the ones that are bringing all the reaction from Allah Ta'ala. In Madina Sharif, just a few meters from the Haram Sharif, we can watch the worst of all movies, we can listen to the filthiest of all music. They haven't only got 20 or 30 channels, they've got 200 channel TVs. In Makkah Sharif, the same. So many shops and so many bazaars, and so many people that are running those hotels. One person from Egypt, he tells me, he says, I don't get a chance to go to the Haram Sharif for the entire period of Hajj. He's working there. He says, my boss is so difficult that I can't even go and make my salat. One Burmese chap said, he told me the same thing. May Allah Ta'ala give us all hidayat, give the entire ummah the hidayat. May Allah protect us from all the fitnas, remove the difficulties and trials of the entire ummah. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.